Luke chapter number 10, we'll read a couple verses and then we'll get into this morning's message. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," that him is Jesus Christ, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question. Great question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for that song we just heard. And God, Lord, that's my story. I was cursed by the law. And God, you set me free by what you did on the cross. God, thank you for taking that curse upon you. And Lord, in exchange, giving us righteousness. God, as the lawyer comes to you in this passage, you share with us that conversation. And God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that this message would be an encouragement and a challenge to us here today. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I know there's needs here today, and Lord, needs I cannot meet, but you could. And Lord, I pray you'd just have your hand about all of these things. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 10. There's certain stories in the scriptures that just I just love. I mean, I love every word of God. Don't get me wrong, but there are certain ones that just seem to touch a little closer to home. Maybe the Lord gives us a little insight, some background, and this for me is one of those. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up." So imagine Christ teaching or having these conversations in a public setting, and a lawyer stands up to question the Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't imagine the world going after the things of God in a public setting. It just baffles my mind. Or maybe it's something that we see on a regular basis. But here a lawyer stood up. We don't know much about the lawyer. We don't know much about his background. We don't know, quite honestly, anything. We don't know his name. We know his position. We don't know if he was a Jewish lawyer or not. We don't know where he was taught. But the Bible says it reveals to us his purpose. It says this, that he tempted him. This wasn't to get deeper understanding. This was the purpose of this, from what we read in Scripture, was to cause some trouble. It would be similar if in the middle of service, all of a sudden someone standing up and saying, "Yeah, but what do you think about?" And with an agenda. We have men for to handle situations like that. And they're called ushers, and we'll quickly escort you out. And anyways, okay, very good. But here the Lord takes that question. Tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" As I was contemplating verse 25, I thought, although he purposed to tempt and cause the Lord Jesus Christ to trip up, what better source to go to ask such a question? He's asking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, what do I got to do to have eternal life? This is a tactic of, I would say, lawyers even today. What do they do with a person that they have on trial, a witness? What will they do? They will take them, try and get them to trip up on their words, and then they will negate everything they say. Lawyers, scribes, Pharisees tried it many a times with Christ. Would this lawyer be successful? Would this lawyer be successful in tempting or the Lord, maybe if I ask him the wrong way, he'll act in anger. Maybe he'll respond. Notice the nature of the question. He asks this, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Tells me from the very beginning, he doesn't understand eternal life and who he's asking. I didn't do anything for eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ paid for my the whole deal. Jesus paid it all. What would these works include? We don't see an admittance by the lawyer of sin or guilt or any sort of acknowledgement that he has broken the law. He just wants to receive a reward for his good merits. Sounds like today. God, I've done all of these good things. Therefore, you need to let me into heaven. And Christ will ask the same question. The Father will ask the same question. What have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? That's the key. That's the most important question. Hey, look at all these things I have done. It doesn't matter what you've done. What have you done with Christ? That's the most important thing. Look at how the Lord responds. And he said unto him, what is written in law? How readest thou? Why would he point him back to the law? Well, according to the book of Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster. The law is the very thing that shows us that we need a Savior. He says, tell me about the law. Tell me what you read there. Look at his response. I'm so amazed by his response. Again, I've known this message that I was preaching, so I've had a little extra time to just contemplate each of these words and things. In verse 27, he answering said, now this is the lawyer. Look at the words that he says back to Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He answers pretty much exactly what Christ would have answered, telling me that there's a chance this guy's been under his teachings, maybe been listening from afar, Nicodemus style maybe, coming at night, hiding in the shadows. The Jewish people were very much familiar with Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse 5. But this would have been the response of Christ. No answer could have been given outside of this at this point. I was fascinated that he would answer in that way. Christ then says in verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. At the end of this conversation, he says, you answered right. Now go do this. I was reading some Jewish history, and they said Deuteronomy chapter 6, or this passage right here, is the most important commandment. Everything else just explains it. And I thought, wow, what a great view of the law, right? Love God and love others. And Christ was done with the conversation. He says, good job, go do that. But he wasn't there to really get information, was he? Remember the purpose of the lawyer standing up in the midst. The Bible says he stood up, right? And tempted. His purpose was not to get information. His purpose really probably wasn't even to inherit eternal life. He was there to cause trouble. Hey, be careful of people that look to cause trouble. Stay away from, my mom used to say this all the time, stay away from troublemakers. There were kids, we grew up in Irondequoit, and there were some kids down the street, and she warned us, stay away from them. They're troublemakers. How many of your parents remember that those words? Troublemakers. So what do they make? They make trouble. And you want to get in trouble? Hang around troublemakers. And here we have a man that is looking to cause some trouble, and it says, see, he was done with the conversation, but Christ was done. But this man wanted to go one step further. Look at verse 29 again. But he willing to justify himself. He would like to wash his hands of this. He didn't want to have to do verse 27. Sometimes we designate who our neighbor is. And he asks this question. He says, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? You know, the Lord, way back in the Old Testament, had a chosen people. It's called the nation of Israel. He had a set of laws for them. He had a set of guidelines. He had a place of worship. He had a relationship with the nation of Israel. Now, other nations could get in. They could join. They were they couldn't hold some of the same offices. But if they ascribed to the teachings of the law and kept the feasts and those things, that they too would, even though they maybe by Gentile by birth, it didn't happen often, but they could get in. But God had separated himself a nation, the nation of Israel, again, a set of guidelines, and those guidelines not only were to help preserve their life, but to keep them what we would call holy. Yes. sanctified. He set them apart for a purpose, a use, to demonstrate his love and power through a nation. But this nation abused that, listen now, and what was designated as the nation of Israel to be one of holiness and sanctification has now become self-righteous and proud. And that's the nature of the question here. Who's my neighbor? Because there's some people that we don't deal with. Why? Because we, as the nation of Israel, are better than everybody else. So what was originally decided as the nation of Israel would be holy and sanctified have now become self-righteous and proud. We see it when we study the Pharisees, yes? They're not there acting compassionately on those without. They're promoting their self-righteousness. And this lawyer is no different. This is a challenge on who's important in God's eyes. Who is my neighbor? Because he just said, go love your neighbor. And this one, trying to tempt the Lord, says, are you going to send me to someone that's unclean? How do you like story time? Man, my kids love story time. When they were little, I'm not sure if you remember this, Sam, or Joe's in Sunday school. Abby, is she in here? Abby? I would make up stories. It's been a while since I've made up some stories, but I would just make up stories and just tell them stories. They loved it. Dad, tell us a story. Hudson, Dad, tell me a story. We'd read books. I remember reading little cardboard books and when they were little. And the Lord kind of says at the same thing, I'm going to tell you a story. Sit down for a second. Get comfortable. Get yourself a little popcorn. Enjoy this story. And here we have one of the most beautiful stories in our New Testament. Let us remember that question, who is my neighbor? The nature in which that question is being asked. The testing of the Lord coming into this. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach us something. He's going to point out to these Jews just how far they were from understanding Christ. In verse 30, as we follow through, we'll go from 30 to 37 this morning, so you know where we're at in the message. When we get to 37, we're done, all right? So we moved the clock so you can't look. It's very obnoxious, Mrs. Dickinson, when you turn around. It hurts my heart when you do that, all right? Wear a watch. Turn your cell phones off. All right, Luke chapter number 10 and verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's approximately 21 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. The Bible says, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead, leaving him there that he would die of his wounds. He was robbed. I don't know, if I were taking a trip, I love road trips. I was driving with Pastor Seidman last week or so, and we were just talking about what would you rather do? Would you rather fly somewhere or drive somewhere? And we both concluded we'd rather drive. It's just easier. I enjoy it. I'm in control. If I want to stop and use the bathroom or stop at Krispy Kreme donuts when the light is on, I can do that. I can do that. It's better than the little thing of peanuts or whatever. And I understand certain places like, Zambia are a little harder to get to via driving, so we will take a plane this August, but so be it. But I love road trips. We get excited the days leading up to it. We pack. We get special treats. We get things, whether it's a business or a family or whatever it is, we like to take trips. We pack the car up. The kids get maybe some special treats. Everyone's got to have their water bottle, and they're anticipating this. It's a big time. It's a big deal. The days leading up to it is how many days until we go? How many? And this is no small trip here. This is a 21-mile walk. That's a long walk. And this man, I can imagine, whether it's for business or whatever, was anticipating this, excited about this trip as he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And they're waiting, not knowing. Had he known that this would have happened, he wouldn't have gone that way. But they're waiting, maybe in off the road or whatever. They noticed that this man had some things that they wanted. And what did they do? They robbed him. Didn't just rob him, they wounded him. Doesn't say if he fought back or not, but they took all his clothes. They beat him up bad. How do you know bad? Because he's half dead. And they just left him there. They took his stuff. And they just left him there. From the very beginning, Satan has been our enemy. As we go down the journeys of life, he's waiting in the brush just off to the side, waiting to come and wound us, if you will. And such is the consequence of our sin. I was wounded by my sin. The sin left me worse than it found me. Is that not true? And there I am, half dead, on the side of the road, looking for some help. Anybody ever been in distress or in a time of help, right? You've needed it. Maybe you had a blowout on a tire, and there you are on the side of the road. Maybe you hurt yourself. We have power equipment and power tools at the house, and there's been times when, I don't know, I broke some of the don't do rules, Matt, and all of a sudden my finger found itself in the blade. Dumb. Come in, and all of a sudden I need some help. I remember talking with Sean, you working in years, and there you were. You did something, broke your back laying there in the middle of the street. It's kind of like the man here. But I was a lot worse off than just physical. I made some decisions as a sinner, and because of that, I was just about half dead. Needing help. In verse 31, it uses this phrase, and it says, and by chance. We start with an anticipated trip, the excitement of the trip. Who doesn't get excited about a trip? I mean, Brother Martin, you drove 50 minutes to get here. That's almost a trip. Got to get up early. Everyone's excited. Make sure we have our shoes on, the right feet, you know, all that kind of stuff. And We're going to need sustenance. It's almost an hour. We're taking some time. You got to check the gas and all that. You're excited about taking a trip. This man was excited. If he's anything like you and I, what happened? He fell among robbers, wounded, stripped, left half dead. But the Bible says this. Look at this. In verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Oh, this is wonderful timing. I mean, certainly a sad circumstance, sad situation, Jacob. Here we have this man. He was just trying to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a 21 mile. We don't know if he was close, how far in he was, whatever. There were some people that took what he had, left him for dead. The Bible says wounded him. And just so happened that while he was laying on the side of the road, who comes by? The priest. This is great. And a religious official is going to help this man. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And the Bible says, and when he saw him, he ran to him to see how he can help. Sorry. Hold on, wait. He passed by on the other side. By chance, a priest came by. God has provided a help at this moment. And yet the priest turns a blind eye to the need that is right before him. Crosses the street as if to say, I want to be far away from that. and just keeps on his journey. We're in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. How long ago did we go to Philadelphia? Month? 2 months? Month? All right. There we were. We were walking down the street. I was with Victor Martinez, Little Vic, and we're walking down the street, and some people were getting a little rowdy on the front corner there, and all of a sudden, Victor's like, let's cross the street. I said, but our street is this way. He goes, let's cross the street. So when a 17-year-old boy says, let's cross the street, I can follow along. So we crossed the street. We went all the way around. There was a young kid out there. He had a broomstick. He was chasing two guys and yelling, cursing at each other. So we walked around and just went around our way. Why? Because we didn't want to have any dealings with that. Brought it up in there and to our guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. And that's a mess. That's exactly what the priest did. Oh, that's a mess. I see that mess, and I'm going to go around over here. By chance, God brought an answer to the problem, but here we have a man a little selfish. Maybe he was pressed for time. I mean, it is a 21-mile, and if I stop and help somebody, you know what that's going to do? That's going to set me way back. I gotta preach tonight or teach the law tonight and Jericho, maybe he was coming on the way back. Maybe he was on his way back to Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us which way he was going. It's about me. I don't have time for that. Understand that that's exactly like today. This world, there's sinners all throughout that need help. And you know the religious crowd can't do anything for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is what they need. Hold your hand here in Luke chapter 10. Go with me to John chapter 3. That's all right, Miss Bear. We're good. It doesn't bother me. That's actually nicer than the previous one. I don't know. Some of you have some great ringtones. My favorite are the Japanese dance club ones. I love those. Those are good. Anyways, all right. John chapter 3, lest we get off course here. John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, he must be born again. No, you need to be religious. You need to keep these set of guidelines. You need to do the... No. No, you understand, just like this priest can offer no help to the lost, to those that have been wounded by sin and suffering the consequences of that. Actually, the priest had nothing to offer this man. And the truth of that is, yes, he had nothing to offer. He couldn't help him. You take your sins to the priest, he can't help you. He must be born again. So there, the religious, the priest passes by. By chance, the Lord sent him. But that's not what the man needed. No, go with me back to Luke chapter number 10 and verse 32. And likewise, a Levite. Oh, good, a fellow countryman. A buddy. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. By chance, a Levite now comes by. He looks at him and he says, No, that's going to be too much work. Oh, the excuses people make of why they can't, why they couldn't tell others, why they couldn't help reach the needs of others. You don't understand, I'm busy today. Saturday's my day. Thursday's my day. We've designated every week as our week. When does the Lord get time? Well, Sunday morning between... Yeah, but what about the lost? What about the laws that we walk by each and every day only to, I'll go this way. So I just don't have to deal with that. I'm not sure if you're aware, but sinners are a mess. And such were some of you. Hey, remember what it was like, what you looked like when you came to the Lord. Say, I was pristine. You were a mess. You were stripped. You were wounded. You were half dead. And so is everybody else without the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow countryman comes by. He says, no, that's going to be too much work for me. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace. Do you remember what that man asked? He said, trying to justify himself, he asked, who's my neighbor? And the Lord says this, your justification comes by grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No, the fellow countryman, no, he didn't offer help. He didn't have any help to give. And then let's look at this, Luke chapter number 10 and verse 33. Say, Pastor, you're trying to get to 37, but it's taking you a very long time. That's all right. That's okay. But a certain Samaritan. So I'm not familiar with the Samaritans. They're all but extinct now. Lost ties with that. What is a Samaritan? Samaritan is someone who is half Jew, half not. They're half Gentile. The race came about after the Assyrian captivity of the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC. Certain people from the nation of Israel stayed behind. These people intermarried with the Assyrians, producing the Samaritans. Say, oh, they must have got along very well with the Jews. Not exactly. There was a nation or an area right in the middle of Israel called Samaria, and the Lord told that, we looked at it this morning in Sunday school class, He says, don't go to Samaria, to the Samaritans. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't get along. And well, who comes by? By chance, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed back in Luke chapter number 10, came where he was, and when he saw him, look at the description of how he saw him. Remember the priest, what did he say? He saw him and he says, oh, I don't want to have any dealings with that. That's going to mess up my schedule. What does the Levite do? The Levite actually comes, looks at him and says, no, I'm going to go around. The Samaritan looks at him, and the Bible says this. He had compassion. He saw the need. Hey, do you understand that there ought to be a stirring in our heart when we see the need of mankind for the Lord Jesus Christ? That ought to work in us. That ought to bring out compassion and love, not selfishness and pride. I like there in where the Lord has the multitude sitting there. He's about to feed them. We call it the feeding of the 5,000, but examination of the passage, there's probably a lot more than that. And the Bible says that Christ looked out over the multitudes, and what did He have in His heart and what in His eyes, Benjamin? He had compassion for an enormous amount of people. But you know what? Not only does He have compassion for an enormous amount of people, He looks at us as individuals, and has compassion on us. In our mess, in all of our troubles, in all of our ugliness, this man had nothing in possessions. He had wounds. He was naked. He had so many needs. And the Samaritan looked at him with compassion. Don't you see that the Lord Jesus Christ, in your worst moment, looked at you while we were yet sinners? And had compassion on us. Aren't you glad we just sang about it? But he didn't pass by on the other side. That he came right by, lifted you up, put you upon his very best, took and met all of your needs. Man, that's good. Not only did he have compassion, look at verse 34, he had care and went to him. He saw him and he didn't run away. He saw him and he didn't say, hey, this is going to really mess up my schedule. Hey, I'm going to be late for something. Hey, this is going to cost me. Shame on us when we look at others and go, this is just too expensive. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. That means this guy's walking. Who takes a trip and brings two cars? Now with gas prices these days, Stephen, we're trying to carpool. We're picking, I'm about to get in on the bus ministry. Just pick me up. You come right by my house, bud, right? I could get in. He doesn't bring two beasts. He's walking. This man's on his own beast. Hey, I'll help you just as long as it's not inconvenient to me. But once this thing starts costing me something, I'm sorry, I'm out. That's not how the Lord works, is it? No, he took his very best and gave it to us. Brought him to an inn and took care of him. Bound up his wounds, it says. Poured oil and wine. Oil is used to consecrate and cleanse and to make holy. The wine symbolized the blood of the new covenant here. Study our Bibles. That's a study in itself. Not only was there compassion, not only was there care, but there was cost associated. His own beast, 2 days' wages. It says, let us keep reading. And on the morrow when he departed, so that night, imagine, so this man just walks now expecting to drive or get driven on the beast. He's pulling his beast now that has a guy on it. He gets in, and the Bible says that and took care of him that night. Hey, sometimes imagine like having surgery that next day. Man, you're sore. It's difficult. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Pence is a day's wages. And he gave them to the host and unto him and says, take care of him. He's like, I got to go, but here's a couple things. That 2 pence is kind of interesting. Again, I'll not get into all that, but you know the age of grace is not forever. Get in now. Says, take care of them, and whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay thee. Hey, one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to make good on all that we did here while he was gone. But look at the cost. Pays for his room. How much are hotel rooms tonight, these days? Imagine that. Food? Nursing? This was expensive. Let us remember that this is a Samaritan. A Samaritan who by the Jews would have been shunned. A Samaritan by almost definition are at odds with Israel. We go back to that question again. Who is my neighbor? Verse 36, and now Christ asked the question. It wasn't just a nice story. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He says, which one of them acted like a neighbor? You okay, Ms. Joyce? Yes. All right, good.
The
You're welcome. The Bible says, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. I wonder if he was still standing. Guy stands up, he tempts the Lord. He says, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? He says, inherit. Oh, man. What do you got to do? He's like, what does the law say? It says to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, yeah, go do that. He says, who's my neighbor? He says, you know, funny you should ask me that. He says, you know, years ago, I remember, there was a man, and he was going from Jericho to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among, and then this, and this, and this. And then he points him out. He says, who acted like the neighbor? How would you respond? The man that... The priest that walked around and said, I just don't have time for this. The Levite that looked at it, counted the cost and said, way too expensive. Or the natural enemy of the man that's been wounded, that's going to cost him care and time and efforts. And he says, who is it? Who was the neighbor? He said, the man that showed mercy. Kind of like the first conversation, I bet this man just wish he wouldn't have gone any further. And then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. And I want you to get this thought through your head. Write it down, whatever it is that you need to do. The question is no longer who is my neighbor, but whose neighbor am I? It is no longer, but am I doing what the Lord has sent me to go do? Do I walk by people that need the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm sorry, I just don't have time for this today. I'm sorry, this is going to cost me way too much. Or do I stop, have compassion on those that are without, express the love of Christ? And mercy. Am I a neighbor to all those that are in need? You know, the gospel does something miraculous. It does away with all enemies and introduces love. What did the Samaritan start with? Compassion. How is it that we can walk by the needs of this world and not be touched in our heart at all? Maybe it's because we're lacking compassion. Maybe we just don't even see it right. Maybe our view is blinded. I'm going to ask you here this morning, I'm not asking who is your neighbor. I'm asking whose neighbor are you? Who are you going around and trying to help who's wounded? And left for dead. Let's all stand. Started off as an innocent conversation. Wasn't so innocent. The attempt was to tempt the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect mercy and compassion and grace, turns it back over and challenges us. Is there a culture, is there a group of people, is there a classification, if you will, that say they just don't deserve the gospel? Or it's just going to take way too much work, I'm not willing to put that in. Then you're the priest and the Levite. Or can you walk by and know, hey, this is going to cost, I'm never going to get it back. But it's to help somebody in need. Maybe the Lord needs to touch our eyes and help us to first see people through compassion. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. Hey, in a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. I like invitations. I think it's important to invite people to come down to the altar and have conversation with Christ, with the Father, as the Lord is working in your heart. Say, I like just praying at my seat. Yeah. Yeah, sure. But there's something about coming forward. I encourage you, if you're in your seat today and you're not saved, by courage, just come forward. Allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a child of God.